Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your motherfucking ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 213 of the Stone Age Gamer podcast for the week of August 3rd, 2018. I am Chris Randazzo and joining me tonight is spiky-haired protagonist Dan Ryan.
Man, I wish I had enough hair to be spiky-haired.
I didn't say it was coming out of the top of your head.
That's true. It is coming out the sides, though. I'm going to fucking start rocking that Hulk Hogan look. It's going to be awesome. Really excited about it.
Comb it out of your ears to expand on the...
There you go. I'm going to pull a Donald and get some sort of beachy wave going on.
Yeah.
Ugh.
As Dan and I get ready for some vacation days, we've decided to talk about a couple of our favorite vacation games. But before we go any further, here's your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekade.com. Just include the words Stone Age Gamer in the subject line, and you can let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello, because we always want to hear from you, the listener. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Chris.
Infinity War came out today.
It did.
Digitally.
Yeah. Not on the DVD or the Blu-ray.
No digital versatile discs today, sir.
No, none.
And that's not for another couple of weeks. I'm totally going to buy this movie, though.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to watch it. I just watched it again this weekend, and I can't wait to buy it and watch it again.
Yeah, I watched a bunch of it today, but I had a lot of work today that required me to concentrate on things, so
ew.
I had to put my Infinity War and West Wing on hold.
It's just, I mean, we're past, like, spoiler time now, right?
Oh, definitely.
Okay, well, I mean, you know.
Well, yeah, spoiler alert, but...
Spoiler alert, put in the sirens. Man, like, Mr. Stark, I don't feel so good.
I'm not
Jesus
even there yet again.
Christ, Spider-Man.
But, yeah.
Like, come on. That
just
was
just even the
so...
way that it all comes together in the beginning, too. I mean, just, what a good time.
I mean, that was just so heartbreaking, though. Like, the juxtaposition of Tony at the beginning of the flick, where he's talking to Pepper and he's like, I dreamed we had a kid. And then his kid fucking dies.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man. Just, and like, I think one of the funniest parts of that movie was seeing some of the reactions of like, oh my God, I can't believe they killed Black Panther and Spider-Man. And yeah. Like, no, they're going to come. First of all, it's comic books, so they're going to come
back.
We
all know this isn't going to stick, but still, they showed it happening. You know, this wasn't one of those like, you know, Superman wasn't actually dead this whole time. This was just like, no, they died. They're going to get resurrected. I mean, the life stone and the infinity stones exist, you know, but there's like, an out, but still
beyond all that, they've announced the next Spider-Man and Black Panther movie. Like those, what did you think? It's just, it was silly.
Yeah.
I also, in another bit of comic book movie related news, I find this to be just about the most sublimely beautiful thing I can possibly think of. In its opening weekend, the Teen Titans Go movie has made more money than Justice League.
I finally watched Justice League. Did we talk about that?
We did not. What
I
a hard piece of shit,
Justice
right?
League. You know what? And here was my thoughts on the movie. Is I think I hate this movie. I mean, yeah, it was horrible. Mm-hmm. But I think what I hated so much about this movie, as opposed to, say, like Batman v Superman, like Batman v Superman is just awful. Like,
it's objectively
it's just flat
bad.
Out yeah. bad. Justice League kept poking me with like,
this like, might be cool. No, like, never mind.
Right in
I
the
take
beginning
it back.
Sums it up perfectly with Wonder Woman and the stopping the bank robbers.
Yeah.
Like he starts unloading the automatic fire and she blocks all of those bullets with her gauntlets. And I was like, wow, that was really cool. And before I could even finish that thought, what are you? A believer.
Ugh.
Ooh.
Yuck. It's, you saw Suicide Squad, right?
No.
Okay. I felt very similarly with Suicide Squad of it was just left of great. You know, like like, fuck, you almost, nope, you lost it. Shit, you lost it. You almost had it. But
you remember that bit towards the end where, so Superman shows up and starts Supermaning all over the place, and it's fantastic. Yeah. Like, he's just wonderful. It's like, oh, wow, Henry Cavill can Superman. Look at him go. He flies right up next to Flash. He's like, all right, what's the plan? And it's like, we're saving people. Sorry, you go left, I'll go right. Flash goes through the whole thing of saving those dudes, and then Superman's flying by in the background with a building in his hand.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
That was a great scene, and then it was again followed up by more stupid. I showed Karen some of it, too, because somebody had mentioned on my Facebook post about having finally seen the movie that Flash's crapping his pants face when he realizes Superman can see him running is like the best thing in the universe. And he's not wrong. That his face is hysterical when he's like, they've got everything slowed down to Flash time. And, like, you see Superman's eye move and just Ezra Miller's face of him just like, oh, no. Oh, no. It was a terrible movie.
Unfortunately, I think Flash was my least favorite part of it.
Really? I mean, I don't think that he was Flash, but he was entertaining. And I really liked the visual effect of him moving. Like the way they did the lightning and stuff, just the way they made him move and depicted that movement, I thought was really, really nice.
I don't know. It was a terrible movie, though.
Oh, yeah, it was a terrible movie. Cyborg was terrible.
Like, God.
Just the look of him. It was
the CGI was awful.
All the CG in this movie was crap.
I mean, it was like for a big budget flick. We did finally see, we're just going to talk about comic book movies tonight. Never mind. Fuck it. Tiff and I finally saw Deadpool 2.
I still haven't seen it, so don't spoil anything.
Oh my God, dude.
I know. My wife went to go see it with my fucking mom, and I haven't seen it yet.
I said this to Tiff when we were watching it. I was like, you know, I didn't know. And honestly, I didn't. What I wanted out of Deadpool 2. Like, I love the first one so much. It's such, like, Deadpool, and I'm going to say something, and this may sound ridiculous, but I think I'm going to stick with it. Deadpool is as close to a perfect movie. Not the best movie, not the greatest movie ever made, but a perfect superhero movie as, like, fucking Ghostbusters is close to being a perfect movie. You know, does that make sense?
I believe that it does make sense.
Okay.
It is as good as a Deadpool movie could have possibly been.
It is just, there's not, when I watch Deadpool, and I've seen that movie more times than I can, than is rational at this point, there's nothing where I'm like, eh. Like, there's not one part where I'm like, man, this could have been a little better. Yeah, like, it's damn near perfect. So I didn't know what I wanted out of Deadpool 2. And then I watched Deadpool 2 and said, that was what I wanted. That right there, that was it. They fucking nailed it.
Yeah, I'm very nailed excited it. To see it. Very, very excited to see it.
So great. So great. X-Force, so great.
I am convinced that I will love it.
Without question. Without question. God damn it.
What was it? Nick Cage played Superman in that Teen Titans Go movie. That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's pretty great. And we didn't even see the Teen Titans Go movie yet because all of our money is going to our Disney trip.
Yay. So did you play any games this week?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
I played
Puzzle and Dragons.
Well, I did play Puzzle and Dragons, and Super Godfest starts tonight at midnight, and I have 180 stones saved up, and there's 6 stones a pull, so that's 30 pulls. I'm really excited about it. And then I played more Black Ops, because it's really fun. I played, before we came on the air, you can make your own custom cards in Black Ops that like pop up next to your name. And somebody online had, it's just not going to get any better than this guy's custom card. It was a black background with red letters and blood splotches. And the text that was on this card said, heavy fucking metal forever. I was like, that dude fucking rules. Love this guy. Heavy fucking metal forever. Beautiful. Anyway, but we also purchased SteamWorld Dig 2.
I have heard pretty good things about this game.
You played the first one, right? You played Dig?
Yeah, I played a little bit of it. I put a couple hours into it. It didn't really catch me all that well. Which I know everyone who talks about the sequel is like, no, it's so much better than the first one. The first one's great, but this one's like, holy crap, amazing. And
yeah, I would agree with that. It looked visually, it is much prettier to look at. Like, we bought it because Tiff is a huge fan of the first SteamWorld Dig. And we finally just broke down over this weekend and picked it up. And it's just as charming and interesting and clever as the first one was, if not more so. The new power-ups are very cool. They're just delightful little games. And just, if you have not played SteamWorld Dig or SteamWorld Dig 2, like, really honestly, as soon as you are done listening to the podcast, go buy both of them. They are absolutely worth the money. You will get, you know, 5-6 hours out of each, I would wager, is about the total playtime if you want to see everything and do everything and upgrade all of your stuff and all of that. But they're just such charming, sweet little adventures, and I just really, really love them. It's an excellent, excellent game. And I did pre-order Guacamelee too, so.
Hooray.
Yeah, I can't fucking wait. Can't wait, Chris.
Yeah, that game looks wonderful. Maybe I'll play it someday.
Heavy fucking metal forever, Chris.
Yeah, I actually saw that you were online playing Call of Duty because I turned on my PS4 because, you know, I think I'm getting pretty far in West of Loathing, so I wanted to start the updating process now so that when I actually want to play Horizon, I can. And I'm glad I did that because I fired up Horizon and it was updating for like an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad I decided to get that out of the way beforehand. But I did fire up my old PS4 and it's there and the Horizon is in there just waiting for me to finish West of Loathing and get to work on it. I have been playing a lot more West of Loathing. I got stuck in this game. I don't want to say the difficulty is ramping up a bit, but I don't want to say that this game is hard so much as I'm not playing it very well.
That's fair.
I can't really figure out why I'm losing this one battle so much. So there were these jelly bean thieves, and I tracked them down.
Naturally, those are absolutely the worst kind of thieves.
They're the worst. And every time I go into this, I mean, I've lost this battle like 12, 15 times already, at least. And I've used up all my items, like trying to get to a point where if I could just kill these three guys before they, you know, kill me, then I'm good to go.
Mm-hmm.
But they all attack me, and they never attack my partner. They always attack me, and if I die, the fight's over.
Naturally.
And so I don't know why I can't beat these guys, so I keep trying to do other things to beef myself up, and I've come really close to getting pretty far into the battle, but at the end of the day, they always just, if they hit me twice in a turn, I'm toast. It's just, you know, game over for me.
Is there not a way to, like, set your partner character, like, as defense?
No.
Okay.
Your partner character, by the way.
Your partner. It is a Western.
Is very limited on what they can do, or at least mine is. She just shoots dudes, and which is fine, but a lot of times, like, she has almost no defense, so a lot of fights, like, she'll take the first hit and she'll be out, but then I can kind of clean up everything afterwards. Most fights I just waltz through without any issue at all. But this jelly bean fight, I just can't win. There was this other fight though that I stayed up way too late finishing, and it actually took me like a day and a half to finish. So I went into this graveyard, and I could see that there was a grave with a sword on it behind these skeletons that were popping out of the ground.
Right.
So I was like, well, I want that sword. So I started the battle, and then I died. And I was like, all right, I figured out how to win this battle immediately. I just know there must have been a smarter way than what I did. So there's five skeletons in the battle. Three of them will just do regular melee attacks that do like one or two damage. But the other two will do this spell that ups everyone's stats by three. All of everyone's stats by three.
Okay.
So what I did was I was like, all right, well, these guys can't attack. So I'm just going to kill these three guys who can hurt me and then spend the rest of my time killing these guys.
Makes sense.
But every turn, both of them did this thing where they raised all of their stats by three. So in no time, they all have like 115 hit points of health. In no time, it got to the point where I could only do one hit point of damage on them because their defense got so high and their whatever allows them to evade things got so high that my partner couldn't shoot them.
That's frustrating.
So I just kept grinding. I was like, all right, I'm not losing this battle. I can't I literally can't lose this battle because I will always be able to deal at least one hit point and they can't hurt me. So I just disconnected a Joy-Con and walked around the house slapping the A button for a while.
Jesus.
And I saved it, went to bed, woke up in the morning, continued. It took me a while, but I did win, and I got the sword, and it wasn't even as good as the other sword I already had in my inventory.
Well, of course it wasn't.
The sword that I do have in my inventory is quite wonderful. I've spoken about the spittoons in this game.
Yes.
This one came from a spittoon. There was this camp where these guys were playing like some sort of like super nerdy board game.
Mm-hmm.
And inside
aren't
they all inside of this camp there was a spittoon, and I dug around in said spittoon and I pulled out a sword that was belonged to these geeky fellows. And I go ahead and guess what kind of rancid sword would you what would you call a rancid sword that you found at the bottom of a spittoon?
I have absolutely no idea. The sword, spit sword.
It's called Blexcalibur.
Oh, Jesus Christ! Really?
This is a replica of King Arthur's sword. You know it's a replica because there's no way history would have allowed the original to be this comprehensively covered in tobacco spit.
Jesus Christ! A game is absurd.
It is. I wanted to read you a passage from the book of West of Loathing.
Okay.
I recorded one of my spittoon trips, and let's see. This is a spittoon and an unusually full one. Probably best to leave it alone. Your options are take closer look or leave it alone. I said take closer look. He says, look, this isn't mom and pop's family fun time saloon. This is a dive bar in a dive town. People who drink in here are mainly drifters and desperados. Don't go splashing around in the literal scum of the literal scum of the earth. Seriously, don't. This is wrong and disgusting. It's vile behavior. Your answer is, I have my face right up to this thing. What am I finding? No, I'm not telling you. Why are you doing this to me? I had to skip lunch today.
Jesus.
Oh boy, that video went by super fast. Oh god, this other one I recorded was oh boy, a spittoon. At least it looks like a spittoon, but it's next to a bed. It might actually be a bedpan. Look in it. What, really? I mean, if it's just a spittoon, that's bad enough, but it might be a bedpan, and that would be way worse. Look in the bedpan. I feel like maybe you aren't getting what I'm saying. We're talking about an object that someone probably uses when they wake up in the middle of the night and can't be bothered to walk to the outhouse. And the best you can hope for is that maybe they only use it to spit nighttime tobacco juice into, in which case it's only full of rancid congealing tobacco spit. Look in the bedpan. Are you even listening to me? Or are you just sort of skimming past the text? Bedpan. Shut up. I'm investigating. Okay, fine. Have it your way. Your own filthy, disgusting way. It turns out to probably not be a bedpan, but it is definitely a spittoon, and it is definitely filled with rotting brown spit. Fish around in it. What is wrong with you? Bite me.
Nice.
Oh, Oh, good God. Okay, you plunge your hand in up to the wrist. It makes a gloop noise and breaks breaks the thin skin of congealing toxins that was previously keeping the dire smell in relative check. Now you are choking in a miasma of oily, bitter chaw stink. Oh. You know that feeling you get when you're about to puke? How you get that taste way in the back rear corners of your mouth? That metallic tang by the root of your tongue, like you're sucking in a corroded old penny? Just tell me what I found already. did I record? No, I didn't record past that.
Nice.
This game is amazing.
How much is this game?
I think it's 15. It's either 10 or 15. It's worth every goddamn penny.
It seems to be worth a lot more than that.
I've gotten so much laughter out of this game. And I thought the Splatoon thing was going to be a one-off joke, but there's right. one. They're all over the place. And each time you do one, the game seems to be more and more disgusted by your behavior. Oh, God. So
that's fantastic.
By West of Loathing. Apparently Gal Simone is playing this game right now.
Really?
I follow her on Twitter and she just posted on Twitter, bean tosser. I forget what the classes are. There's three different classes that you can pick. A bean tosser is better than, snake handler or snake oil. Something is better than cow puncher. I picked cow puncher because I thought it was hilarious.
That is pretty funny.
Apparently I'm I picked the worst one, according to Gail Simone. But she's playing really? West of Loathing, and that makes me happy.
Well, all right, then.
Also, Picross 2 is coming, so I'm super stoked about that. There's a second Picross coming to the Switch. I am excited.
It's all that matters.
It is all that matters, because this one has a new mode where you can do a bunch of smaller Picrosses that patch together into a giant Picross. Oh my mm-hmm. God, I'm so excited.
Fair enough.
So, Dan had this idea. So for the next 2 weeks, Dan's going to be on vacation, and then the following week, I'm going to be on vacation. So, you're going to get episodes, but Dan and I aren't going to be on the same episode for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be weird.
It is going to be weird, especially when Dan hosts and Dean is the guest star.
Yeah, which is happening 6 months from now, but we like to plan ahead.
We do. We decided, well, Dan decided, and I agreed with him, that we should talk about games that we think are great games to play on vacation. I prepared for this, Dan did not, so I'm pretty excited to hear what he comes up with.
How dare you? I just didn't write it down. I had a conversation with my wife on the way back from the store today.
Well, Dan, talk to me about some games that you think are great for playing on vacation.
Well,
we'll take turns. It'll be fun.
That will be fun. See, here was my my thought on this, right? Is that when you go on vacation, there's a couple of different types of vacations, right? You have the type of vacation where there is no gaming that takes place once you arrive at your destination. And like if you go to like Yellowstone or you know, like any, like a national park kind of thing where you were just in the park and out and you're camping and you're doing all that sort of thing. Or if you go on a cruise, there's way too much to do, right? So those were out. The other types of vacations, though, two other types of vacations in my mind. One, the vacation that you drive or fly to. And you go and do a big crazy thing during the day, and then you go back in the evening, and there's downtime, and then you get up the next morning, like theme park vacations. You go to Disney, you're going to Disney, you're going to Islands of Adventure, you're going to Universal Studios, maybe Epcot, maybe Hollywood Studios, maybe Animal Kingdom, like the SeaWorld. There's all of these different things to do, right? But there's downtime in the evening. And the other type of vacation is, you know, we're going on vacation to Aunt Millie's cabin, and we're going to be surrounded by our family, who we hate, but the only thing we're going to be able to do is drink if we're old enough or the parents have gone to sleep, and play games. Right? So this isn't necessarily going to be just video games. So the first thing that I wanted to mention, Chris, was something that I played when I was a kid going on vacation in car rides, and that was electronic football.
Mm.
The handheld. Do you remember electronic football?
I do, because I have one.
Do you?
I do.
I saw one in the store today and almost bought it because I knew this was our topic tonight. It's a horrible version of football.
I would agree with that.
It's just not football.
No.
I mean, when you come down to it, it's just not. But for those of you unaware of what electronic football is, it is a white rectangle that has like 8 buttons on it. You can move up, down, left, or right. You can kick, and that's about it.
It was in, wasn't there a repurposed version of it in Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is what Star-Lord, I think, is holding at some point. He does something with it. But it is, like, it came out, like, the mid-70s originally.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a huge deal. Like, this was a big, big deal. And if you were a kid who grew up in the mid to late 70s, early 80s, you either had or had played this electronic football game at some point. Didn't matter, boy, girl, whatever. You were into it. And I have memories of sitting in car trips, you know, on the way to wherever. You know, just sitting in the back and the beeps and the boops as you would watch your little red square move across your tiny ass little field and like really pretend like, oh, I'm the giant. Cause right. I'm a Giants fan. So like, oh, Lawrence Taylor with a sack and like, no, it's not, but whatever. I'm going to make that story up anyway and pretend in my mind that that's what it is. Tiff just looked it up for me. It came out in 1978. So you've played it, you have it. What are your memories of electronic football?
Honestly, I have none because I have one only because I bought it relatively recently. It wasn't something that we ever had when we were kids.
Okay.
We didn't have any portable video games when I was a little kid. I didn't get a Game Boy until the, I played my friend's Game Boys, but I didn't have my own until the Play It Loud series. My first Game Boy was the Play It Loud Red Game Boy around when the first Donkey Kong Land came out.
Mm-hmm.
There was like every now and then I would borrow a like one of those Tiger LCD games from a friend or something. That was the closest I ever had to something like this. So I was at Digital Press a few years back, and they had one of these for sale, and I picked it up. And that's my memory of it.
Fair enough. I mean, yeah,
it's neat. It's awesome. Such a cool piece of history.
Yeah.
It was just something I really wanted to have, and I'm glad I picked it up. I'd still like to find myself a copy of Atari Touch Me.
Mm.
But, that has eluded me.
I think going along with this one, too, is the old electronic baseball as well. That one was a little bit more straightforward, but was nowhere near as possible. Or not possible, nowhere near as popular. Sorry, I'm reading and talking at the same time. Did you ever play the electronic baseball one?
I have not.
Okay, same.
But I feel like that one would make I've seen video of people playing it.
Yeah,
like same, that one seems to same make a kind lot of more shell. Sense, you know?
Yeah, same kind a of shell.
Red dot moving from base to base. And
yeah.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Well, one of the things that I've actually played on vacation, one of the things I like to do if I'm going to have one of those vacations where I'm going to have some time to myself to just sit, like on a beach or something, I like to try to pick things that I have always wanted to play but have never had the time for.
Okay.
So several years ago, my sister-in-law got married, and they got married in Costa Rica. And so I brought with me a Game Boy Advance and a copy of the original Golden Sun.
Mm, love that game.
Because there's nothing quite like just RPGs on the beach, you know?
So, I don't know that I've ever played an RPG on the beach, but I'm with you.
It
sounds
quite nice.
Like a wonderful time.
Here I am chilling in Costa Rica, and there's, you know, the ocean in front of me, and I got my little Game Boy Advance, and playing Golden Sun, and every couple of minutes look out at the ocean, then back down to the game. And I didn't get super far in it because I didn't have as much time to myself as I thought I would.
Sure.
But there was definitely a couple of hours at a time where I just sat in a beach chair and played Golden Sun, and it was really quite wonderful. You know, not that the Game Boy Advance is great for playing outdoors.
No, not particularly.
Oddly enough, the sun is what makes it more difficult to play. But, you know, I had had enough shade to make it work, and I really enjoyed it. And I like playing games like that when I'm on vacation, because it's just kind of nice to get lost in something like that. I also brought Golden Sun on a plane ride with me once, so good stuff for that.
I played all the way through Golden Sun, and I think we've talked about it before. But I played all the way through it at my former job as a telemarketer.
I would just
sit there and play Golden Sun. I love that world. I love the character designs. The summons were so cool. Like, it was just a really, really good game.
Impressive looking. Camera angle thing where it like spin into the battle, and it was all 2D sprites, but just that little rudimentary 3D business they had going on was a great presentation. That series really deserves a little more love.
Well, there was one for the Wii, right?
There was one for the DS. That was the last one they released.
That was the last one.
There's never been a console Golden Sun.
Was there supposed to be one for the Wii?
I know a lot of people wanted one.
Okay.
But, there
I
was
thought maybe it had gotten announced at some point.
Just the two GBA ones and then the DS one, and that was it.
I do love this game. This is something that I would be very, very excited if there was something new announced with it. Like,
you know what's strange about Golden Sun? I just learned recently that there was a patch for Super Smash Bros. For Wii U that removed Isaac as an assist trophy.
Really?
Just took him right out of the game.
That's weird.
Isn't it? Like, the only reason I could see something like that happening would be if they were planning on adding him as a playable character. Like, why else would they remove him as an assist trophy?
Well, isn't Camelot, aren't they owned by Nintendo?
I don't think they are. I don't know really what the status of... I mean, I don't think they're owned by Nintendo, but they're certainly have a great relationship with Nintendo. Camelot Software is... They do not seem to have a parent company. They are just their own thing.
Oh,
from 1999 to 95, they were owned by Sega, but now I believe they're their own thing.
Yeah.
But they've, you know, they've developed Mario sports games and stuff. Like,
yeah.
You know, they have
like
a great relationship with Nintendo. I really have no idea what the deal is with Golden Sun and why there hasn't been a new one.
Well, give me some more goddamn Golden Sun.
Seriously. Now, let's each do one more before we take a break.
Yeah, sticking with the Game Boy Advance, because it seemed to always happen that I would get the game for Christmas, and then over Christmas vacation, take a family trip, would be the Castlevania Game Boy Advance and DS series of games.
Mm-hmm.
And those were perfect for playing on a plane or in a car ride, you know, to and from a place, or after you've just gotten finished with a theme park, you can kind of come in, and those games were certainly playable in smaller chunks. You know, what I always thought was so brilliant about those games was that you could sit there and play them for a good long period of time or a short period of time and still have a very enjoyable experience. You could feel like you were making progression in the game, even if, like, I got 20 minutes. I'm going to put 20 minutes into this, and maybe I'll level up once. You know, like, there was always something to do, something to get to. And those games are so good that, you know, they are always synonymous with vacation for me.
I would agree with... I've never really played those on vacation. I just always kind of marathoned them when they came out.
Mm-hmm.
But I really love those games.
Well, and you know what I mean, right? Like, you can do it for, like, you know, it's going to take us a half hour. Like, our hotel's a half hour from the thing we're going to do.
Yeah,
all right,
they're
well,
great.
I'm going to level up
twice.
Especially
the DS ones where you can just, you know, open and close. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, just...
I also
awesome
love,
stuff.
Love the fact that in, I believe it was Dawn of Sorrow,
mm-hmm.
that one of the power-ups you could get early on was a cat summon.
Yes.
And you just... put out your arm and a cat shoots out of it and goes, meow.
So ridiculous.
It's one of the best things in the history of humanity.
You know, but for a relatively annualized series there for a couple of years, just quality game after quality game.
Yeah, like, you know, they were really cranking out some good stuff.
Some are better than others, but there's not a bad one in the bunch.
Yeah, I mean, they all had different... What an interesting progression of games, right? Like, what a fascinating progression of games. You had the first one, Circle the Moon, that was super dark because they just designed it like a game.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wait, nobody can see this. there's no light. Damn.
That game was so much better played on the SP and then the DS.
My goodness. Yeah, definitely. Then you had the second one, Harmony of Dissonance, that was super colorful.
Yeah. Way over the top.
Way over the top colorful. And also, like, they sacrificed sound quality to make the graphics better.
Which is fine.
The game looks amazing, but the music, like, sounds like it's coming out of a regular Game Boy instead of a GBA.
It does sound
pretty. And then they really evened it out with Aria of Sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And then the DS ones were Dawn of Sorrow, which is the freaking masterpiece. Portrait of Ruin, which is an interesting... little segue there with the two different characters, and then Order of Ecclesia, which has Shinoa, which is a really awesome character design. So,
just awesome stuff. Really, really great.
Absolutely agree. This is another one that I've actually played on vacation. It's kind of one of my go-to vacation situations, which specifically is Mega Man 3. This is one of my favorite games of all time. One of the things I like to do if I'm on a vacation situation, I just want to unwind, is maybe not focus on something I've never played before and look for a new experience, but just relax to something I know inside and out and just blow through it. And that's
something
me with
comfortable.
Mega Man 3. Exactly. Yeah. I can just annihilate Mega Man 3 because I know it so well, and it's one of my all-time favorites. And so I would also kind of nominate the Mega Man Legacy collections as great vacation games because... You know, you got a bunch of Mega Mans, you got a little bit of time, beat one. You got a ton of time, beat all 6 or 10 or however many Legacy Collections you want to bring. But Mega Man 3, and particularly any old school game that you just know really well, just kind of chill, relax, and have fun with it. And that's Mega Man 3 for me.
Well, and that's kind of, you know, the point of this is that, like, the most popular games in the world right now, not really games that lend themselves to casual play, right? Like, you can't be a casual Fortnite player.
No, you know, I tried. It doesn't work.
Yeah, you have to invest. And that doesn't really work in a vacation-type setting. So, you know, I think you're spot on with something like... This is like an old pair of gloves. You know, I slip this on and I know I can beat it. I know it's just a way to relax and calm down after, you know, because, like, look, we're adults, we have children, you know, it's frustrating to take kids on vacation a lot of times. And it's like, I just want to stop yelling at people for a little bit. So I'm going to sit here and I'm going to veg out on this and that's going to be my day and that's going to be okay. Or else I'm going to murder somebody. So,
I'm going to play this game for a couple hours, and it's going to do what I tell it to do.
Yeah, which never happens in my life now. So, wonderful. I love it.
Wonderful. All right, well, let's take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, we're going to keep talking about games we like to play on vacation. You're listening to the Stone Age Gamer Podcast from Geekade.com, so stick around. The Stone Age Gamer Podcast is coming to Long Island Retro. Join me and special guests Dean from the Vest and Friends Podcast and Matt from the Waveback Podcast as we engage in a bracket tournament-style showdown to determine what the best worst controller of all time is. Is the Nintendo 64's three-handed grip better than the Atari Jaguar's numeric keypad? Does the Philips CDI wand work better than the non-centering joysticks of the Atari 5200? Find out at Long Island Retro on Saturday, August 11th at 4 p.m. in Panel Room 2, right after the Square Painter and Tiny Ninja panel, which will also undoubtedly be a good time. See you there! How you been, Dan?
Fantastic, Chris. So, as I mentioned on the two different types of vacation, one of the vacations that you can take with your family is that family vacation where you meet up with a bunch of other members of your family. Maybe some you know well, maybe some you don't know very well. And I think perfect gaming experience capture really to really figure out who the members of your family are. Cards Against Humanity. I know we're a video game podcast, Chris. I get that. But this is a weird topic and we're going with it. So Cards Against Humanity, for those of you who have never played Cards Against Humanity, it is one of the most delightful ways to spend some time with other people on the planet. And how it works is you have one person who picks up is it a white card or a black card?
I don't remember. It's been a long time since I've played it.
You pick up a white card, and on the white card, it has some sort of scenario. And you, as the person holding the card, has to read out the scenario. And however many people are playing against you, they have 7 cards in their hand, and they have to give the card that best completes your sentence, right? So it's a black card. I'm picking up out of my box right now. So you pick up a black card, Chris, and I'm the dealer, and I put down the black card that I have just pulled out, and it says, "My body is ready." Okay? Blank, my body is ready. And the object of the game is to put down the funniest way to complete that card. So, just as an example, just random things that I just picked up out of the expansion pack that I have here. Battle-tested period panties. My body is ready. That's fucking funny.
Agreed.
Doing the waffle stomp. My body is ready. Nutella. My body is ready. I would probably pick that one. That's really funny.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Sitting alone in the dark, listening to Drake. My body is ready. Or, and one of my very, very favorite cards that I've ever gotten in Cards Against Humanity, and is something you have to imagine like your Uncle Mitch that you only see every now and again, having a card in his hand and playing it at a time, and you have to read out Daniel Radcliffe's Delicious Asshole. My body is ready. And you're like, fuck, Uncle Mitch. That's savage. That's ridiculous. You win. Right? And whoever gets the most black cards win. It's a ridiculous game. It's filthy. It is absurd. It's nonsense. And it's just wonderful.
If you want to go the family-friendly route, you can always go apples to apples.
Sure. Like, play apples to apples when the kids are awake. And then when the kids go to bed, you pull out, you know, Cards Against Humanity, and it's just a wonderful way to spend time with friends or family.
When my friends and I decided it was a good idea to drive to the Arctic Ocean from New Jersey...
not a great idea. I gotta be honest with you.
Oh no, it was the best idea. It was the greatest idea. Alaska is awesome. We didn't bring Cards Against Humanity, so we stopped at a CVS and bought a bunch of index cards and just made one.
Well, and that's kind of the beautiful thing about Cards Against Humanity is that they sell packages. Like, they're a wonderful company that does really great humanitarian things for being terribly filthy people. They do really, really great humanitarian works. But they have this wonderful sense of humor about them where they will sell you a box of nothing and it's just blank cards. for you to come up with your own shit that you paid money for. So you guys did it smart by just buying index cards.
We did. It was fun. I can't remember where. I don't know where that set went, but we had a lot of fun with it in the car.
It's just good stuff. So something to play with the family. Cards Against Humanity.
You know what else we did in that car?
Oh. I like where this is going. I've seen those videos.
Hey, I played a metric ton. I brought my original Game Boy with because that's just kind of the flavor I was in. And I played a ton of Mario's Picross and tennis.
Ooh. Not the T-titled game I was going to go with on the original Game Boy, but...
No, and Super Mario Land, but really most of the time I spent was playing Mario's Picross and tennis. I've expressed my undying love for all things Picross on this podcast many a time, but for the longest time, for a solid 13 years, all we had here in America was Mario's Picross for the black and white Game Boy, and I have played through that game, every puzzle in that game, several times over, and it's just wonderful. It's just that reminds me of vacation. Even when I was younger, when I got my first Game Boy and I got Mario's Picross, I took it with us on like a family vacation. And
right.
I was still playing it years later when we drove to Alaska and swam in the Arctic Ocean. And that was great. And same thing with tennis. Tennis is just, it's just a simple, ridiculous tennis game with super catchy Hip Tanaka music. And Mario is the umpire, and it's just great.
It is a delightful little game. And I was going to say, you know, when I was younger, my go-to on, you know, car rides, driving from South Jersey to North Jersey, which isn't that long, I mean, it's, you know, hour 45 minutes or whatever. But it was a vacation, and we would go up and visit family up there and stay for the weekend or, you know, a long weekend or whatever. And it was always just Tetris.
Yeah.
Just with my original Game Boy set up with the light and the magnifying glass and the speakers and the shit that flapped out on the side and the extra whatever. Like, all of that stuff just to play Tetris. Because I don't know that there is a more perfect game.
I would agree. Tetris is about as good as it gets as far as literal video game perfection.
And especially that Game Boy version.
That Game Boy version is pretty unforgettable. I did spend a decent chunk of time with it, but I had the NES version since I didn't have a Game Boy, and that's what I spent the most of my time with. And hot dang if I didn't play the heck out of that game.
Just an absurd amount of time has been put into, like, I have put more hours into Tetris than any, although Puzzle and Dragons might be catching up, but I have put an absurd amount of time into that game. One of the other things I was going to mention, apart from, because, like, it's so easy now, right? Like, we take car trips, like, with my kids, they're 9, and they have their DVD player in the car, and they bring their iPads, and they can play Minecraft, their games that don't need to be connected online, you know, because they're 9, we're not getting them a cell connection for their iPads, and I'm not, like, paying for a hotspot, you know, but kids who are older, like, can just pull out their phones, and they have access to thousands and thousands. It was different when we were kids. When we were kids, Chris, we would have to sit in the back seat of, you know, Uncle Steve's station wagon, and we would have to play Travel Trouble. And Travel Trouble was a wonderful time, just this tiny little version. Trouble is, kids who are listening, it's a board game. Board games were things that you didn't play when you were bored. That's not what it means. You're not funny. It was a game that was out on a board, see? And Trouble had this... The
Pop-O-Matic bubble, dude.
The Pop-O-Matic bubble was just the most incredible sound.
Not was, is. My son is enamored by Trouble. He got a crappy Disney Cars Trouble, which...
It's just the best noise. It's a noise that is almost as good as a home run.
Yeah, you know what? Keep talking.
You know, like, it's just, Tiff just said it's like puka puka. Puka puka. But, like, that sound of... apparently, my sister-in-law had a boyfriend in high school who had a band that wrote a song called Puka Puka about the trouble noise. But it's just this one. Oh God, it's so good. It's such a good noise, Chris. Just keep doing it. Just
the thing about this.
I'm halfway there, Chris.
Yeah.
I'm almost there.
So this crappy Cars version of Trouble is just awful in every way because Cars is awful in every way.
Oh God, it really is.
I hate Cars, but
it's almost as bad as The Good Dinosaur.
I haven't seen that one. But
that movie sucks on toast.
It looked pretty crappy.
It's a Western.
That's weird.
It
great. I'm going to be doing this for the rest of the show.
It's very odd.
But the Pop-O-Matic bubble is removable on this one.
Ooh, so you can just carry the bubble around?
Exactly. I just have the Pop-O-Matic bubble like a fidget spinner in my hand, which is kind of great. But at the same time,
wonderful.
There's no slots in this one. Like the piece is just go on a flat board. Like what the hell? What bush league crap is this?
That is Trouble bush league. Give me trouble because
the great thing about the travel one is great. I had Trouble 2. I had so many travel games. I love the Travel Connect 4 was really cool.
Travel Connect 4 is good. My kids lost all the pieces on our last trip to Virginia. They're in my car currently. But
what the heck? There was what was the one I
Travel Battleship.
Travel Battleship was great. Travel Yahtzee was awesome because
Travel
it was
Yahtzee
like,
is good.
It was this little bar that had the dice in it, and you couldn't get the dice out. And what you did was you shook it around, you turn it upside down, and then you pressed the little buttons on the back, and they would hold the dice in place. So you could tell which, like, so you're not rolling dice, you're just stopping them, and then that's how you get your numbers. Oh, it's great. Travel board games were the best. But
speaking
of Trouble, even regular size Trouble, it comes in a big, thick plastic board. Like most board games, like Monopoly or whatever, you take them out, you take out this flat board and you put a bunch of pieces on it. Trouble is like this honking hunk of plastic with a giant Pop-O-Matic bubble in the middle and all these little slots. So like there's no cheating in Trouble.
No.
There's no figuring out like, oh no, I only went 4.5 spaces, or you nudge the board and your pieces move. No, there's individual slots for every place you can be. Trouble is the best.
Trouble is the best. And you could just hours in the car just playing Trouble and popping around that board. God, I love that game.
Oh my God. Trouble was so good. I wish I knew what the hell happened to my Travel Trouble.
Right. Because, like,
I think I had Travel Sorry too. Was there a Travel Sorry?
I'm sure there was. There's a Travel Clue. And, like, Clue is not a travel game. Clue is one of the games that you play when you get to your destination.
Oh
and they're like, well, there's some board games, you know, and you look through and you just saw it.
I just found a picture of the Travel Trouble I had when I was a kid, because there's a slightly redesigned one for modern times. No, that's the one that I had. Oh my God. I love those little pegs. I wanted to eat them.
It's just right.
They look delicious.
And that's what I'm talking about. You know, when you think of vacation, Travel Trouble, man.
Yeah.
Like,
well, that's just right. Yeah, I did have Travel Sorry. No, I didn't have Travel Sorry. This looks completely unfamiliar to me. This looks crazy. Have you seen Travel Sorry?
No.
It's nuts. It's all folds up and wow, that's bananas. Way to go, guys.
Damn it, Google, stop auto-completing Travel Trouble to Travel Troubleshooter and other
shit. Oh my God,
shit.
It did the same thing to me.
Fucking stupid Google.
How very dare you.
Ugh.
Ugh.
But yeah,
indeed.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
God damn it, I love that game. Pop-O-Matic Bubble. Good job, Chris. Do I win the podcast?
You do. It's not going to get any better than this.
Take this
thing to work with me tomorrow.
All right, well, why don't we do, you got a couple more? Any more?
I do. I had a couple more things. One of the things that's great to play on vacations, this was another thing that I played through on a vacation, was the first Phoenix Wright. I think Phoenix Wright games are perfect for vacations because they're just like little books, you know, little interactive books with silly animations, and they're just wonderful. Vacation's another time to, I mentioned before, like games you always wanted to play but never had time for, kind of like what we're doing with the summer series, you know? But I've always liked to try to approach them like, oh, I'm going to be on a plane for a couple hours. I'm going to grab a Zelda game that I never bothered to play. Like,
right.
The weirdo ones like Phantom Hourglass, Spirit Traps, the Oracle games, Minish Cap, Triforce Heroes, Spirit Traps. Right. I can talk. weirdo Metroid games. Like the next time I get the opportunity, I'd love to just like I've got a several block, hour block of time. I'm going to play Metroid Prime Hunters because I've always wanted to do that.
Mm.
Or Federation Force, even. I'd like to play Federation Force.
Would you, though?
I would, because I heard it's a pretty decent game, and it's by, what was it, Goodfeel? Is that the people who did Federation Force? Goodness, I can't remember.
I don't know.
It's by a company that does lots of good things. Next Level Games did Federation Force. Mm. Next Level Games doesn't make crappy games. They did the Mario Strikers games and Luigi's Mansion for DS. Like, these guys have a pretty good track record. These are the guys that made freaking Punch-Out for the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get it. It is not what anyone wanted out of the Metroid franchise, especially at this time, that time. That said, you know, these guys have such a great track record, I can't imagine it's a bad game. And people who have actually played it have said, yeah, this is pretty good. It was really unfortunate that they came out with that Blast Ball at the same time as Rocket League was happening.
Yeah.
Because Blast Ball is super fun. It's just not nearly as fun as Rocket League.
Yeah, it's just not.
It's just not. And it's a shame, because if it had come out, like, first, if it had beat Rocket League by just a few months, it would have, you know, probably would have carved out a nice little niche for itself, and that would have been fine. But really, if you put it next to Rocket League, Rocket League just outclasses it in every conceivable way. So
it really does.
It's a shame. But yes, I would like to, I would like to. There was a canceled game from them called WWE Titans Parts Unknown. I don't know what the hell that's supposed to mean. And some game called Clockwork. W-E-R-K. Whatever.
Well,
they
only
have 98 employees, according to Wikipedia. Good for them.
I only had a couple more. One would be, you know, when you would get to your destination, a lot of times that destination would have that weird ass multi-game box that you could play chess or checkers or backgammon or cribbage or any of that other shit that you never learned how to play, so you always ended up just playing checkers. Always a good time. Loved
that. I had a travel chessboard that was magnetic and it was awesome.
That is awesome. Scrabble was another one.
Yeah, you know, Scrabble's a winner.
We are really dipping back into the Stone Age as far as Stone Age gamer is concerned. But honestly, Chris, perhaps my favorite travel game of all time, the thing that I play on vacation, the game that always reminded me of vacation, was a deck of cards. Just a simple deck of cards to play solitaire on an airplane, to play Point Rummy when, you know, I used to gamble with my aunts when I was a kid. We would play Point Rummy for a penny a point, and you know, I would walk away with $4 feeling like king of the fucking world because I was seven and didn't know what money meant. And, you know, like, just, I think my fondest memories are just playing cards with my family, staying up later than I should have on because it's vacation and bedtimes don't count, and you know, you're super tired, but no, I'm good. I'm all right. I'm fine. I'm awake. I'm not tired. Right?
I'm not tired. You're tired.
I'm not tired. You're tired. You're sunburned. Everything fucking hurts. You're like hot and cold all at the same time, and like shit's peeling off of you. But you know, it's 8:30, and you're 9 years old or 8 years old, and you're like, I'm so tired, but I want to play cards, and just the most wonderful time doing that. So above all else, really going back to putting the Stone Age in Stone Age Gamer, Chris, a deck of cards is best vacation game.
I will go serious, not serious. I will go similar to that.
I will go XM.
Similar to that. I don't have very many vacation thoughts of decks of cards. I did spend a lot of time playing it at home, but no, if I'm thinking vacation games, it's Uno.
Yeah.
I mean, I can think of so many vacations where any vacation I ever took with Karen, we always take a deck of Uno cards with us, and we'll just sit and she'll kick my ass at Uno for hours, because that woman has the most ridiculous luck when it comes to Uno. It is absurd. Because when you're playing one-on-one Uno, there's not a lot of strategy. It's just
There's really not. It's just luck of the draw.
What comes up next? It's luck of the draw. And she would kick the ever-loving shit out of me all the time.
But always a good time.
Always a good time. I mean, we would always just spend a ton of time on Uno. And you can get video game Uno for some reason if you want it.
And you shouldn't.
You should just buy the cards.
You really should. Like, there's a certain point where, like, we are a video game podcast. We've done this for 200 episodes. And, you know, we obviously love video games, but there are very few instances where technology is not the answer.
I did have a ton of fun with Uno on Xbox 360. Because I would play online with strangers. So
that's
that's different.
That's
just
different.
Grabbing Uno on like the Switch, breaking off a Joy-Con and playing with someone right next to you. That's stupid.
I went this past weekend, Chris, this past Friday night, I went to see Billy Joel in concert, like a lifelong dream achieved, seeing Billy Joel, who was fantastic at 69 years old. That man can go harder than I can now. And I am not 69. I don't know if you know that about me. But, I mean, just put on a wonderful show. But sold out stadium. And tons of people in the section that I was sitting in were all videotaping it on their phone. We're all recording it on their phone. That's how old I am. I say fucking videotaping. We're all recording this shit on their phone. It's like, what? You're not going to fucking watch it, first of all. You're not going to show it to your friends because they're not going to be up. The sound quality of recording a live concert in a stadium on your phone is garbage. Plus, you have all the drunk people in your section singing along to Moving Out, right? Like, enjoy the experience that's in front of you. Sometimes, Chris, sometimes, you got to put the fucking screen down. You have to. And you have to just enjoy the people that are around you. Right? And you got to make that fucking pop-o-matic bubble noise. God damn it, that's a beautiful sound.
Isn't it?
Oh, I love it. I love it. And you can't recreate that digitally, Chris. A digital pop-o-matic bubble, a digimatic bubble, it's just not the same.
It's not. You know what else you can never recreate digitally? The sound and feel of a zapper gun.
Yeah. Just not something that's going to happen.
It's funny you said that videotaping thing. Yeah. I was editing a report. I edit reports for the FAA, for anyone who wants to know. And one of the reports
Good,
I got...
Good, we're tracking you down.
One of the reports I got, the engineer said that they videotaped the experiment. And I was like, no, you didn't.
You didn't, though. I mean, I know what you mean, but you didn't, though.
You didn't. I have to change this to recorded, because I don't think I'm going to find a VHS tape in your camcorder when I go to your office.
Is this Betamax? Do I have to use the adapter? Fuck.
Now, I'm not saying there aren't CRTs laying around in the FAA. We just upgraded to, like, Windows, I don't know.
95? It is a government facility.
Yes.
We just went from Windows 95 to Windows ME.
It's a Millennium Edition.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. It's so good. They don't even care now. You can make as many copies as you want. They don't really support it with update packs very often, though.
Cause your computer to catch fire. Anyway, I just thought it was funny that's the second time I've heard videotaped in the last 24 hours.
Well, Chris, we're old men now, and that's okay. But For a nonsense topic that I threw out in a chat last week, I think this has gone pretty well.
I agree. This has gone as well as I could possibly imagine, and I think we should wrap up this show so I can go upstairs, get in bed, and play more West of Loathing.
Sounds like a plan. There is no more blood to be got from this stone.
I'm going to get those goddamn jelly beans back if it kills
as
me.
As well you should.
That's right. And you know what you should do is you should get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram at Geekade, subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content, follow us on Twitter at the_Geekade. You can also find us on individually on Twitter. I'm at Geekade Chris. That's Geekade K-R-I-S. And Dan, where are you?
I am at Geekade Dan. Please feel free to follow on Twitter and yell at me for not mentioning Monopoly, because fuck Monopoly. But I know there's somebody listening to this podcast being like, Monopoly is the greatest game to play on vacation.
Not on vacation. No, you want to get along with people on vacation.
Fucking Monopoly and whatever else that... Because there's got to be stuff that we missed, Chris.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
There's got to be.
I mean, we were just talking about ours. I didn't even mention all the things that were on my list, so yeah. Whatever. I'm at Geekade Chris. He's at Geekade Bagbag. If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed tonight, be sure to check out our show notes. While you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes or Stitcher, where if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. We'd also like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for making the show listenable for all you folks, and we'd like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme song. You can check him out on SoundCloud, Bandcamp, or his website, which we have a link to in the show notes. Again, always remember to keep your eyes on Geekade.com for even more fresh, original content. Dan is not going to be here for 2 weeks, like I said earlier. So next week, we're going to be visited by Ryan Cross from StoneAgeGamer.com, the founder of The Feast.
Right. I wonder what his favorite vacation game is.
You know what? I'm going to be technically on vacation with him when I go on vacation. I'll ask him.
Hmm.
Or we could just ask him next week when he's
I bet you it's like some show. Settlers of Catan shit.
Probably.
Nerd.
Nerd. But yeah, he's going to be on the show next week, unless he heard us call him a nerd. Nah, he doesn't care. He is a nerd. He knows it. And he's going to talk about a bunch of stuff, actually.
I want to know Ryan's, and I want to know Ferg's.
Yes. And anyone else, but
I mean, I do want to know everybody else's, but I do really want to know Ferg's.
Yeah, I went on to Ferg. What do you like? What are your vacation games? Tell me.
Don't fucking say Operation.
And I'll say this. Game. You know what else is great on vacation? Is listening to Ferg's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I do when I have, like, time. Just throw on Ferg's podcast. It's a wonderful Atari 2600 game-by-game podcast. Listen to it. It is wonderful and joyous. And I like listening to it. All right, that's it. I'm rambling now. I want to go to bed. Dan, enjoy your vacation.
I will, Chris. I will miss you terribly. I'll be back in 6 months.
You'll be back in 6 months. I'll be old and gray.
It'll be great. Gray-er.
All right, on behalf of Dan and myself, keep playing games.